Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachyomi as we do every single day. Lili Nishmas Abi Moria Rav Hillel ben Meir Yechiel Mechal Areini Kaparas Mishgavo and the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker Zichrono Livracha. We are in Sefer Yishayahu, and Yishayahu continues in Perek Tesvav after having taken apart Bavel, this tiny little nation that ultimately would become the mass world power. And a little more than a century later, Yishayahu now begins a nevuah about the destruction of Moab, which, unlike that of the Plishtim, whom we also finished after talking about the people of Babel, it was not brought about by Jews. Moab gets destroyed by Ashur, led by Sancheirif. Let's remember who and where Moab was. Moab was to the north of Eretz Yisrael, Moab, and the land north of it, of Ammon, lay on the eastern side of Yam HaMelach. And the Torah tells us that was off limits for the Jews to attack because they were given as a Yerusha to the children of Lot. But what happened? Bnei Yisrael had to go ahead and move around them and gave it to Amori, which Bnei Yisrael did conquer, Sichon and Og. And Moshe gave that land to whom? To Reuben, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. And that territory actually originally belonged to Moab, till Sichon, the king of Amori, had conquered it from them. And so now, once it was Amori, the Jews were allowed to conquer the land. But Moab existed in a next Eretz Yisrael for many, many years. And during different times, the Malchei Yisrael kept a very strong hand, and they were subservient. David HaMelech, for instance, he really struck them down, we learned in Shmuel Bet. And Mesha Melech Moab would send an annual tribute to Achav. But when Achav died, he stopped paying the tribute, and that was an act of rebellion. And eventually, over time, when Malchus Yisrael split from Malchus Yehuda, the hold on Eretz Yisrael began to unravel. And Ashur, under Tiglath-Pileser, went ahead and invaded Zvulun and Naphtali, which we knew was the beginning of the end of the Aseres HaShvatim, the real final beginning of the end, right? The final battles. And that got followed by an invasion of the area of Reuben, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe by Ashur, by Ashur's armies of Pul and Tiglath-Pileser, and that led to the full galus of the Aseres HaShvatim. So when Ashur began into Eretz Yisrael, the Moabites, they decided to assist them for 3 years. And when the Jews were running out of the area of Eber HaYarden in front of the Assyrians, the Moabites, the people from Moab, made fun of them and refused to take care of them. They refused to give them sanctuary. That destruction came about at the time of Ashur under Sancheirif, and instead of rewarding them, Ashur comes along and destroys the Eretz Moab as well, humiliates them, and renders them completely useless. And this is the nation that Yishayahu is about to talk to us about. Medrash actually comments, or Schwab points out, that Moab earned its own destruction for other reasons. First of all, they hate the Jewish people. They wanted to destroy them before they got in close to the land. So they hired Bilam, which we'll read about in 2 weeks' time in the Parsha. And then later, when that failed, they were held accountable for it. Then also, they organized an army to conquer parts of Eretz Yisrael, causing them to pay tributes. We know that that was the case, because in the time of Ehud ben Gera, they were fighting against Eglon Melech Moab. And years later, in the time of Yehoshaphat, Moab again attacked the Jews to drive them out. And Yehoshaphat pointed out that instead of being grateful to the Jewish people for respecting them, when they are now trying to drive the Jews out of their own land. And so when this gets stopped, they were held accountable. And this is that medrash. That's their punishment. And for that reason, we'll see that their destruction gets ordained by Yishayahu. So what does he begin? He begins highlighting the fact that the area of Reuben, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe was formerly Moab land that fell to Amori, and the Amori lost it to the Jews. So from the names of the cities, it's clear that the area where Moab lived at the time of this particular nevuah was the same area that Moshe Rabbeinu had conquered together with Bnei Yisrael. So when Ashur went ahead and conquered from the Jews, Moab went back and moved back into their own lands. And that's what happens over here at the beginning of Perek Tesvav, Masa Moab. This is the prophecy concerning Moab, because what's going to happen on the night that Ar Moab was wasted, it was silent. Ar Moab is one of the cities of Moab. It's mentioned as a very major city. And where is it? It's in this area in the Torah. It was a metropolis. And he says that Sancheir is going to overrun the two major cities, Armoav and Kir Moav, in a surprise attack. While the people are sleeping, there would be no resistance. So once these two major cities fall, the power of Moab is going to get destroyed. And that's what happens. The population decides, what are they going to do? They're going to run to the Avodah Zarah, and they're going to go onto the top of the altars, and they're going to tear all the hair out of their heads to be mourning. What happened? They're going to recognize how they're being overrun by Sancheiriv and the people of Ashur. They're going to be crushed and powerless. And all they're going to be able to do is to mourn, to weep, and to wail, and tear out their hair. And Cheshbon and El Alei are going to cry out. Those cities are part of Eber HaYarden. Clearly the Moabites are going to be there. And what gets left of their army is going to be able to do nothing as well. All they're going to do is cry. And Yishayo then expresses his sorrow for what's in store for Moab. And he feels pretty bad about the situation. Nafshi Yaralo, he says, it so cries over itself. Libi the Moav Yizak, he says, my heart cries out to Moav. It's just so fundamentally different between the way our leadership handles challenge and the rest of the world. Our leadership, when we see our enemies get destroyed, we don't get excited. We're told, "Ben pola yivchal tismachol bekishlo al yagali becha." When your enemy falls, don't rejoice. When he stumbles, let your heart don't be glad in that situation. And that's one of those major statements. And here we see it come to life. Yishayo is not a big fan of the people of Moab, but he's already mourning the fact that they are going to be mourning and they're going to flee to Ashur to find refuge in a faraway area. They'll choose Tzoar, just like their great 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 grandfather Lot tried to do, and that's referred to as their third calf. Usually, the third calf's the best calf, and Moab is described as the best, most developed of the region's nations. And now, look where it's going; it's running away in its means to get away from Ashur. And the certain lands that are under Sancheiriv, which have brooks and rivers with willow dress, its economy was so strong that it had a surplus that people would store away for future use. But when Sancheiriv overruns the country, the people grab what they could and carry them through the brush to the brooks of the Bavel. These formerly rich people are now reduced to fleeing refugees. And take a look at what happens. And again, this, despite the debt of their situation, and Rashi says, Al Kain Yasra Asa, he says, because of the excess that it perpetrated, they're being punished because of their own excesses. That what did they do? They showed Jewish people in their hatred, they worked beyond what they needed to do to assist Ashur against Bnei Israel. And they went to a certain sense of their own specific hatred, and so therefore what's going to happen? They're going to wind up having to run to Bavel to hope that they're going to be able to handle. And in Pasuk Ches, Ki kifa hazakos givu Moav ad eglayim yelalta ube'er elim yelalta, he says the screaming surrounds the boundary of Moab up to eglayim and up to Be'er Elim. It's going to be pretty, the description he describes here of the shechting of Moab by Ashur is pretty serious. And he describes how the Mei Dimon, the waters of Dimon, are going to be filled with blood, because there's going to be much more is going to be put in there. The rivers are going to be awash with the blood of the population who keep getting slaughtered by the people of Ashur. And few people who escape the Assyrian bloodbath would have to, those few people, the best they're going to be able to hope for is to have to go face Nebuchadnezzar, which leads the Bavel into their conquest of this particular area. While the Perek is over, the rest of the Nevuah against Moab is still going to continue, and we will take it up when we meet again tomorrow morning. Everyone have a great day.